Let's begin with a word of prayer. With faith, Father, we come before Thee, believing, Lord, that Thou art in Thine heaven and that Thou dost look down upon us. Lord, we believe that Thou dost hear our prayers as we come before Thee. We believe that we stand in Thy presence. We believe that Thy Holy Spirit is here among us. We believe that Thy Word is all-powerful. We have full faith in Thee in all things, dear Heavenly Father. And so we would ask of Thee a blessing in this evening hour, that as we would read Thy Word and speak upon it and offer prayers and sing these hymns to Thee, Father, that Thou wouldst bless our gathering together. Lord, help us to be solemn. Help us to be reverent. Help us to glorify Thy name. Help us, Lord, to remember that this is Thy house. Help us, O God, in all things, Lord, that we might lift up Thy name and praise the name of Jesus for who He is. For we pray this in His name. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
O God, our Father who art in heaven, we in reverence kneel before thee. The creator of all things seen and unseen, the giver of life. O Lord, and the one who has come to redeem us and to, as we have sang in the hymn, who has redeemed us and cleansed us and purchased us by thy precious blood. We kneel before thee, O Lord, to give thee thanks for that which thou hast done for us. We pray, O Lord, that the reading of this word and meditation on thereon would truly bring about within each of our hearts, O Lord, who thou art, and thy word and thy judgments, as we have read, are to be desired far more than much gold. That thy judgments would be sweet unto us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we read this word and as we meditate upon its truths, O Lord, that each of us would understand who we are and who we are before thee, that we are nothing, our lives are nothing, they're just blades of grass that will disappear. But yet, O Lord, for the short time that we are here upon this earth, eternity is weighed in the balances. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that upon this short life that Thou dost give us, that we would wend our way following Thy footsteps. We would walk with Thee, O Lord, and learn of Thee, of Thy meekness, of Thy gentleness, and of Thy love. Well, Lord, oftentimes we find ourselves going through life giving of ourselves or showing of ourselves in a way that does not reflect Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, it is, as we have read, it is only Thy word that is able to transform us and to make of us a new creature. But Lord, we pray that Thou would empower us, and the Lord, we would avail ourselves to that power that would save us from the penalty and the power of sin. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those who have assembled with us in this evening who do not know Thee, O Lord, as their Savior, that they would realize, O Lord, that these moments, even as we lift our thoughts in prayer unto Thee, O Lord, that they are gifts. Every moment is a gift from Thee. And the life that they now live is a life without Thee. And that a death without Thee is an eternity without Thee. That they would recognize, O Lord, that upon this moment that they have, that Thou art calling them. As Thy word is being preached, O Lord, it is a call from Thee. And to reject that call, O Lord, could be the last rejection that they will ever make. So, Lord, impress upon their hearts deeply the depth of grace, that as we have read of Thy grace, that truth and grace come from Thee, O Lord. We have sang in the hymn that it is by Thy grace, O Lord, that they are here, and that they would answer the call as Thou art knocking and waiting and calling for them. Lord, Thou art calling them not from anything that is good, but Thou art calling them from that which is darkness and evil. Thou art calling them unto a light, unto goodness, unto grace and truth, mercy, kindness. Lord, Thou art calling them unto Thyself, that they would not reject that call, O Lord, but to follow after Thee, to look into the great work that was done upon the cross for them, and that they would answer, O Lord, and come to the cross with Thee and die to self and be born again and to live for Thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that all who seek Thee, that they would find Thee, that they, Lord Jesus, would die to themselves and feel the transforming power of Thy word as they yield unto Thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would instruct each of us and give us the strength and the zeal and to walk after Thee. The Lord Jesus, the light that we would display would be the light of Jesus Christ. Make us aware, O Lord, that every word we say and every action that we take and everything that we do, O Lord, is we are being witnesses that, O Lord, we would be judged by everything that we do and say. O Lord, so may we shine forth the light of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, O Lord, we will display the fruit of the Spirit, which comes from Thee. If we but simply yield and remain on the vine, as Thou, Lord Jesus, will flow from the roots and into our hearts and yield that fruit. So abide Thou with us, bless us this evening, O Lord, and help us to draw closer unto Thee and to live for Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The heading in this Bible up here says that Psalm 19 is God's glory in works and word. It's a psalm of David. So as we read through this psalm, we see that it could be broken up into three sections, first being that of nature declaring the glory of God, a second section here in the middle speaking of God's word, then the last section here speaking of a supplication to the Lord for grace and for strength. So the beginning here says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is a very clear message that nature shows, a very clear message that there is a creator, a very clear message that glory belongs unto God, a very clear message that this creation of everything that we see, and even unseen, that it all glorifies God. It all points to a creator, that there is one who has spoken all these things into place. And we look at these things and we do see the glory of all these things. And it is a language. This nature is a language. It says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Night unto night showing that knowledge that there is a higher being, there is a creator who has put these things, and unique in their own way, all these things were created, but yet in harmony with that of its environment. And so it shows forth that knowledge that God hath created these things. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All peoples, all nations, all languages, wherever any people may be, whether it be in a desert environment or in a tropical environment or in a high plains environment or even on the sea, that all peoples can see that there is a creator. And that language of the nature is being proclaimed, and it doesn't matter what language the people who observe these things speak. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And so all these things that we see in the sky and in the atmosphere and on land and on sea, it all glorifies God. And our lives ought to be as such that just as nature glorifies God, that our lives as creation of God glorify God, that we lift up his name, that we point to him in his great, great majesty. Just as the Bible here is speaking of the sun, and we know that the sun is so magnificent and so powerful, and yet that's just a creation of God. And yet it's so glorious that men in their ignorance in times past have worshipped the sun, but yet it's just creation. So we see that the sun in all of its power and all of its glory that the Lord had created, that God is even greater than that. As we see the glory of the sun, when we think of the sun and all the things that it brings that infrared radiation, it brings light and full spectrum of light, that meaning that the light is white because it reflects all colors. And the power of the heat and how the Bible here says that nothing is hid from the heat thereof. The sun is by far the most powerful source of energy that this earth has. The brilliancy of the sun is great. And this is just God's creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, he says, let there be light. And this was created and this was put into place. And so we see this power of God and his glory in just speaking of putting the sun in place. And yet, this week I saw a hummingbird, and just that small little creature, how beautiful it is with a long beak and wings that flap both ways, and how agile it is and how it lays these little small eggs. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. That hummingbird gives glory to the Lord. It points to the Creator. So from the sun to the hummingbird and everything else of God's nature and of his creation, it all points to him, and it gives glory to God, that there is an all-powerful God. And again, our lives need to be congruent with nature in that same messaging that there is an all-powerful God. And glory belongs unto him. And we lift up his name. And we praise him. The Bible says that it is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. The light is a pleasant thing. And it's sweet for the eyes to behold the sun. And we see the sun in all of its glory. And we rejoice when we see sun. It lifts our spirits. And we are joyful when we see the sun and its creation. There was a time when Paul and Barnabas were in Iconium, and they were bringing the message of God to the people, and they were in awe of Paul and Barnabas, so much so that they called them Jupiter and Mercury. And Paul says to them, he cries out to them, and he says, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein." The Apostle Paul was testifying to the people of Iconium that it is God who created all these things. He made heaven, he made earth and the sea and all the things that are therein. And in times past, he suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. He allowed them not to worship him as the creator. But, he says, "Nevertheless, he hath not left himself without witness in that he did good," speaking of the Lord, "and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." This is what the Lord has done for us, in that in our environment, in the earth that he has placed us in, that he brings forth rain from heaven. And peoples of all generations and in all locations throughout the earth have seen that food grows, and they are filled with this food, and they enjoy this food, and they see in wonder these things that God hath created for them to enjoy, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. And so he was winking, or he was overlooking their ignorance for a time, but now he's saying, behold these things which my hand hath created. But there are those who flip things and begin to worship creation more than the Creator. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." All people can see the creation of God and the eternal power and the Godhead that is the Lord's, as he made all these things. But it says they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And so we're just being reminded by the Word of God here this evening that we are to worship the Creator, the one who spoke all these things into place of this world that we can see. They are beautiful things. They are glorious things. When we take time to simply observe something like the clouds, how they move across the sky and how they grow in size or perhaps shrink in size, and we wonder at all these things, God hath done all these things, and we are to worship him and glorify him. And we are to live our lives messaging that same message that there is an all-powerful God. So King David wrote these things as he pondered upon them, speaking of the glory of God in works. Then he speaks here in verses 7, 8, and 9. And the sentence structures in these three verses are interesting in that He speaks of the word of God, but he's speaking it in different terms, and he speaks of this, it, of the Lord. So he speaks of the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. He speaks of all these things, these six things in these three verses, and what they are. And in summary, this is the word of God. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. This is all things pertaining to the word of God. And he speaks of these things as they pertain to the word of God and what they do. So the word of God is perfect. The word of God is sure. The word of God is right. The word of God is pure. The word of God is fear, is clean, and it's true and righteous altogether. This is the word of God. And so as we consider, there's creation, and we see the magnificence of God and his ability to create, and then we read of his word and how pure it is and how sure it is and how perfect the word of God is. There is not a word in the Bible that is out of place, doesn't belong, or neither is there a word that is left out of the Bible. It is perfect. It is perfect, and it is powerful. Just as in nature the sun is powerful, the word of God in our spiritual lives is very, very powerful. And so here's what the word of God, which is perfect, this is what it does for us. Looking at the sentence structure of these three verses, it converts our soul. This is what the word of God does. It makes the simple to be wise. It rejoices our heart. This is what the word of God does for us. It rejoices our heart. We become very, very glad in what the Lord has done. Just as when we see nature working beautifully and how the plants feed the animals and photosynthesis happens and all these things work together, we see the word of God, it also rejoices our hearts when we see that grace and that truth that we sang about this evening. The word of God enlightens our eyes. Just as it is when we think of when we spiritually, when we're living in the basement, it's cold, it's damp, it's ugly, it's dark. And that's where we were living at until the glorious light of Jesus Christ shined into our hearts and we stepped out of that dark, damp basement and we stepped out into the light of Jesus Christ. And we beheld the glory, the infrared radiation of the sun, S-O-N, and his light, and his warmth, and his life-giving power. It enlightens our eyes. It's true and righteous altogether. This is what the Word of God does for us. And that's why we come here to appreciate just so much the Word of God. That whatever passage is read, we know that it's going to be a good passage and it's going to be right for us and it will fill our spirits and it will instruct our minds and our hearts and keep us in the way of the Lord. So let's just remember this one part at a minimum, that the Word of God is perfect. It's perfect. Then after these words of what the Word of God is, David writes, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." The Word of God is to be desired more than gold, yea, more than much fine gold. Just recalling back on Sunday afternoon's message of Achan and how he was part of that battle of Jericho and he saw that wedge of gold there and he wanted that gold, that wedge of gold, and he took it and he kept it for himself. and it became a curse to him. The word of God is pure, and we are to desire that far, far more than we are to desire the vanities of this world, the gold of this world. All that glitters is not gold, the expression is said. You know, gold has a very low melting point when you compare it to other metals. It's less than 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and gold melts. When we think of the fervent heat of which the Lord, when he destroys the world for the second time, that it will certainly melt away any gold that is in this world. And that's true for all the vanities of this life. All of them will burn away. And so this word that is perfect, this word of God that is sure, this word of God that is pure, this word of God that rejoices the heart, is to be desired more than anything else that this life can give. It's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Today we live in a society that all foods have sugar in them. So much so that it's repulsive, all the sugar that's in food today. But that wasn't always so. Foods, perhaps in David's time, were not so sweet as they are today. And when anybody had some honey back then, that was really precious, and that was really to be desired. And so David is saying here that the word of God is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Jesus told his disciples, "Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto eternal life." It is the spirit that profiteth, Jesus says. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profiteth nothing." This life that we live in, it's all vanity, and it will all go away someday, but not our souls. And when we have God's word abiding within us, and we know that it is more precious and more desired than gold, the vanities of this world, or any other thing, that we will be blessed. And we will point to the Lord, and we will glorify his name, just as nature does. "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." We are warned by the word of God. We need to be reminded consistently that the word of God is just not, it's not theory. It's not about some experiment, or like maybe sometimes it works, sometimes under some conditions it doesn't work. No, the word of God is pure, it's perfect. And when we desire God's word and read God's word, we are warned, and our souls are kept from trouble, and we have great reward. Also, speaking of this, of the word of God is to be more desired than the vanities of this life. I heard once of a man who lost his sight, and he could no longer read, so he learned Braille so that he could read the Bible using Braille. And it was so that he read the Bible by Braille for quite some time. But after a time, he lost feelings in his fingertips, and he could no longer feel. So when he could no longer feel, he could no longer read the Bible in Braille. And so what he did was he took his lips and brought his lips across the words, and then he could sense the words of the Bible through his lips. That's how much this individual desired the word of God. So we are warned by the word of God. We are warned to keep from evil, that there is consequences for actions that we take. We are being warned that we are not to have evil thoughts, because these evil thoughts lead to evil actions. And so we are being warned by God's word continuously. But when we keep the word of God,
The Bible here says that great is our reward. Great is our reward.
Jesus spoke that Sermon on the Mount, and then he concluded it by saying, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." So when we hear God's word and we do his word, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. Those are the trials of life. Those are those things that come in our life that are very, very difficult. And it beat upon it, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is the Word of God. When we are founded on the Word of God, the trials of life will come, and they will beat upon our house of faith vehemently. You know, the Bible says that Satan comes to us as a roaring lion, not as a timid cat, but as a roaring lion. Satan is brutal in his tactics toward us. We need to recognize that, and we need to be in expectation of that. That when Satan comes to us, he comes to us in a very, very aggressive manner. But when we're founded upon the rock, we know that when those times come, that we go to our knees. We go to our knees and we plead with the Lord to give us strength, to give us grace, to give us help, to give us all things that we need that we can overcome Satan's tactics, and then fall upon that promise that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Then these last three verses, David speaks as a supplication, as first person toward the Lord. This is how it's written. And so he says, "Who can understand his errors? Keep thou me from secret faults." Again, we have that roaring lion that is an enemy to our souls. And he's going to bring to us faults that he would like us to keep secret. And perhaps they're even strange things, because he's as a roaring lion trying to devour our souls. And so our supplication to the Lord is, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." We're to be cleansed and by the Lord and by the working of his Spirit in our lives, that all these evil thoughts or motives would be expelled from our hearts and from our minds and from our souls. Then he says, again, as supplication to the Lord, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Speaking again, as a supplication to the Lord, "Help me. Keep back me as your servant from presumptuous sins." Presumptuous meaning arrogant, behavior that's arrogant, that's disobedient, that exceeds the limits of that which is deemed to be appropriate. And so that we would be kept back from these things, and that they would not have dominion over us. And then, when our Savior does that for us, then will we be upright, and then we will be innocent in the great transgression. That great transgression, when man, knowing who the Creator is, flips it and worships the creation more than the Creator. When they elevate man more than they elevate God. When they elevate their own will versus the will of God. That's the great transgression. And God will bring all into judgment who do these things. And then a beautiful concluding verse here, verse number 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The words of our mouth. This is a plea to the Lord. "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight? You know, Jesus says that by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. But again, we're very familiar that what's coming out of our mouth and what actions we take is because it's something that we've been thinking about, something that's been on our mind. And so the plea to the Lord is, the supplication to the Lord, the prayer to the Lord is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He is our Savior, he is our Redeemer, and he is our strength. And he is the one that gives us grace to overcome the enemy of our soul. And so the Apostle Paul was exhorting Timothy, giving him many things to ponder on and to do that and to do. And he says, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly unto them. We need to take God's word with us. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Having God's word in whatever way it is for us personally, having his word within our hearts, always being exposed to his word, always having his word there before us. So however that might be, for some it's a verse placed in a prominent area, right, either on the refrigerator or on your desk in your office, or maybe it's just the time that you take as you read the word throughout the day, or maybe it's listening or reading the Bible on your phone. However it is for you, take God's word and read it and consider it. Meditate on it. Think on it. Go through it. How does this apply to me? Oh, in this situation, this and this applied. And because we know that the word of God is perfect. It's sure and it's pure and it rejoices the heart. It does these things for us. Again, this is not theory. This is not some experiment. This is life. This is life. And we get this from the Lord. The Word of God says that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any good report of all these things, think on these things. Think on these things. Occupy your mind with those things which are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Occupy your mind with these things. Satan's going to come to our mind, and he's going to bring us temptations. He's going to want us to think upon things that are contrary to what God would have us to think upon, or to say, or to do. But we can overcome the enemy of our soul by the grace of God when we yield ourselves to him. We are the strongest in our spiritual lives when we are down upon our knees. We need to always remember that. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. That's where we get our strength from. Turning to the Lord. We look to him. He gives us the strength. Our supplication is toward him. He gives us grace. He gives us guidance. He directs us by his word that is pure and sure. So may he bless his word on our hearts this evening. May our lives reflect that, just as nature does, that there is an all-powerful God to whom be glory. Amen.
Amen. We read the verse that says, the law of the Lord is perfect. You know, the commandment and the law of God, it may be something that I don't like. And man wants to change laws and to create a new morality. But it says the testimonies of the Lord are sure. Do you think that he's looking down at a liberal judge who will change laws and create a new morality and he will make room for that? Do you think that if you or I don't like his law that he will make a change to it? It's like the law of gravity. If you don't like gravity and you want to defy it, you're going to realize it's not going to change for you. That's God's law. That's his commandment. And the Apostle Paul says about that, he says that it is, the law is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good. And so, as we read in this portion of the scripture that was expounded on, and I like how the brother broke this into the three sections that it is actually written in, and he talks about, read the verse in Romans of the heavens as they declare the glory of God is revealed. He says, and the biggest thing I want to leave all of us here with is what was read. It says that as the invisible things are being seen and witnessed, so basically creation is witnessing to who God is. He says, so that they are without an excuse. You are without an excuse who doesn't turn to God. And the psalmist here says that, he says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Don't take the liberty to sin. Keep me back from taking liberties to sin, because it is breaking a law that is perfect that will not change for me. And he says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. That doesn't mean that I do something in secret and no one knows and thou cleanse me from that. It's the faults that are secret to myself that I don't want to recognize as sin. He says, keep me back from that. And he says, and I will be innocent from the great transgression. What is this great transgression? It's what we do when we reject him. That's the great transgression. So will you, my dear friend, who as the brother was in the prayer, he mentioned that today was given as a great day of mercy given, extended to you for the purpose to bring you to repentance. Are you going to commit the great transgression? You're going to reject him? Apostle Paul says, you are without an excuse. So may God impress deeply upon each of our hearts, dear ones, this wonderful word that we have read. It's truth. It's and the glory that is in there. You know, man seeks so much to find truth and looking for it, and even in the stars, trying to understand the stars and the galaxies. And man, the deeper he goes into it and finds more and more out, the more he can't believe what he's seeing. And yet the Word of God simply says in five words, and he created the stars also. That's nothing to him. That's nothing to him. He created us, and man sinned, and he came and died for us. Glorify him. Serve him. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.